We're starting this pod off Thursday night, 9:07. We just want to get 25 minutes in on the AFC Championship and NFC Championship games. I've been thinking we should have done it right away. We probably should have done it either Sunday would have been tough, because Sunday would have been a little bit maybe too emotional coming off the Bills loss, but Monday would have probably been best. I think that we got to come off quicker after these games, because you can just remember the detail. When you're in the playoffs, you can really, if you're watching the full game, there's all these little moments that you remember that you kind of lose when you do it a few days later. But we do want to talk about the AFC-NFC championship games. It's just me and Caden tonight, and then we'll
get... Is Uncle Clint coming?
No. We'll get Uncle Clint on next week for the Super Bowl preview. I'm sure he'll have plenty to talk about these games as well. So we will cover this. But again, we just need to get our thoughts down on the way that those two games went down. So it's the sports life. We're talking sports. Let's go. All right, first of all, the first thing I want to say is no matter what happens as a sports fan, it doesn't matter. You got to bring some energy to your pot. So even though we wanted the Bills, we had steak dinners riding on it. It didn't end up happening. We're okay. We can still bring energy to our pod, as opposed to the St. Brown Brothers podcast, where they're coming back. Detroit loses to the Commanders. There was really no energy in that pod. And I think, hey, you still got to bring it. That's still your business. Those guys were advertising. They're making money. People are listening. Bring some energy to that.
So well, I think it's a big difference between not even being a fan of the team and just wanting somebody to, you know, win, other than actually playing the game. I think there's a big difference. I mean, even I'll be honest, I don't think I had that much energy if the Bears were in the Bills situation. I think I'd be a little less energetic, but not as much as, say, I mean, he was pretty, it was pretty boring, but I can understand that. I mean, he played, so, you know.
Take a week off your pod then. Take a week off from your business, because obviously it's about putting a good product out there, and I just felt like I was listening to it. It sounded like he was in depressive mode. You're right. You can see it when these guys lose. It hurts them. I wouldn't expect anything less out of St. Brown. But again, maybe you should step away from your pod if you're, after you go through that. Then again, maybe he wants people to see, what are you digging around for in your pockets? Let's not do that, okay?
What?
Come on. You're digging around for something.
I'm not.
And I kept watching you do it. All right?
I can't. Yeah.
No, you cannot, because there's something. I don't know if there's snacks in there or what, but let's not do that. Let's jump right on this pod. So that's what's going down. I just wanted to mention that because I usually like their podcast. I like the guests they bring on and stuff, and I thought this most recent one was pretty flat. But it is a pretty good listen. You know, they bring in other guys from the NFL. They ask kind of a series of the same questions and whatnot. And I'm assuming maybe they'll bring on somebody next week, hopefully from the Bills. We'll report back on that and see who they end up getting on.
Why would they jump that?
It's not, you know, you bring on these guys that went down, and you could kind of like, I remember they talked to Deebo Samuel about how painful it was when they lost the Super Bowl and so forth. So sometimes it's good to ask these guys questions right after they come off a big loss and just see how they feel and just get the report from them. Then again, it could be another bring down. So let's talk about these games. All right. We got, let's do the big one first, because the Bills,
don't
Chiefs.
You do the big one last?
No, we're going first. We got to come right out of the gate with this, because otherwise this stuff's just stewing out there about that game. And pretty wild ride, right? Because Allen comes out right out of the gate and throws two awful passes to start that game out. Uncle Clint texts me right away. Two picks right out of the gate.
He did two picks?
No, he didn't throw. Neither one of them was a pick. They were just really bad passes to start off the game. So I respond to him. I basically say, hey, he's got his nerves out now. And when you look back at that game, that was true. His nerves were out. That was after those couple of bad throws to start the game. Allen was pretty much spot on the rest of the game. He threw some bullets. He hit the – what's their guy, the barefoot guy? What's
his name? Collins.
Matt Collins. He hit him with a couple of rifle shots. I mean, Allen played a pretty good game from that point on. There's a few things, you know, you can give your report on this game and what you thought about it. I just wrote a few notes coming out of this pod. One is that I definitely went down the Instagram rabbit hole because I clicked on a couple of likes for the bad referee stuff, and then everything it was feeding me was about the bad calls. Look, I agree to some extent that the calls do seem to go the Chiefs' way. Okay?
And there's just no doubt about it. I mean, when the big plays come, it's going their way. It's only going.
Did you see that when Kincaid dropped the ball? Did you see that that the refs picked up the flag because they were gonna like lay a flag down?
That's a note that I have. I got to tell you right now, we're on a podcast. You got to get the stuff out. You can't be chewing on candy and stuff.
It doesn't have candy.
So stop it. Okay, please. That's all I'm going to ask. It's very distracting. Okay, you can't do that. So get rid of it. Do it right now. Okay. All right. So the play he's talking about, and again, this is very true. There's something called the phantom flag out there. Anybody that was watching the game saw the phantom flag. And that was the flag that got picked up. They didn't say anything. And the thought process behind that for the conspiracy theorists in the league are that that was a Chiefs flag, right? So Dalton Kincaid catches that ball. That flag remains on the field. And they come up with some bogus call against the Bills. And so the catch wouldn't stand even if Kincaid ended up holding onto that ball, which he obviously could have. I mean, Allen threw it off his, threw it under heavy pressure. He was off balance. The ball didn't come out real clean, so it wasn't a real easy ball to make a play on. But again, Kincaid, with the talent that he has, probably should have caught that ball. Going back, about 13 and a half left in the fourth quarter, there was that fourth and one. But if you can go back to the previous play before that, there was a third and three, kind of throws it out to Kincaid. Kincaid, if you watch that play, that could have been spotted a first down. I watched that play four or five times on playback. Kincaid kind of dove. His knee didn't clearly hit the ground before the first down mark. That was a play where they spotted him short. But again, could have been a first down on that play. Then they go to fourth and one. They get a terrible spot. The wrong ref. The ref from the top comes down. He's clearly got it a first down. The ref from the bottom comes up. This is another Instagram hole, by the way. They had guys on there stating the worst pass that Josh Allen threw all year, and it was the one where he threw the ball to the guy on the bottom, the ref on the bottom, instead of the ref on the top, who might have spotted the ball for him. There was an Instagram post that said Josh Allen's worst pass of the season, and it was when he passed the ball to the ref that spotted it short, and they were saying if he threw the ball to the ref that had him, that would have spotted it right, that they would have got the first down. But anyway, point is there, when they're going to have a tough time changing that spot when they make the incorrect spot to begin with. And because the head of, I think it was Chris Jones, kind of blocked where Allen had the ball. When you look back, yes, it was close, but it was clear that about a half of the ball or a third of the ball crossed the first down line. So that play right there changes that game. The Bills were in position. They were up 22-21 at that point. Kansas City then took that when it turned over on downs. I think four plays later they were in the end zone. And then Allen came back and drove them to score again. It was a great game. And I don't want the refereeing stuff to spoil it. But again, these major calls in big moments are going the Chiefs' way. And if they're not calls like that, they're ticky-tack things like the previous week against Houston with the roughing the passer stuff, keeping the Chiefs on the field. The other one from that game, and again, there's more, but the other one from that game is the catch for Worthy. The Buffalo player basically had the ball intercepted. As he went to the ground, the tip of the ball hits the ground, and as the tip of the ball is hitting the ground, Worthy puts one hand on the ball, and they give that a catch to the Chiefs. So in my opinion, again, my understanding of the rule is that that is either an incomplete pass because the defender did not intercept it, or it's an interception. You can't have that one both ways. Okay, Worthy, when the tip of that ball hit the ground, Worthy did not have possession of it. The defender had possession of it. So they do say tie goes to the offensive player, but when at the moment they're calling that ball a catch, the offensive player did not have possession of that football. So, again, those were huge plays that did not go the Bills' way. So, with the reffing stuff, I'm on board. I think it's ridiculous. I think Mahomes is the best I've ever seen. They're awesome regardless. But at the same time, it feels like the NFL wants him there every weekend. They want Taylor Swift on TV up in that booth. They want the Kelce story. They seem to want that. It seems like it's good for business, and maybe there's some type of conspiracy there. That flag is the craziest thing to me, though. That is like conspiracy all day. Like, where did that flag go after that ball got dropped? What happened to it? Conspiracy time. Now, I'll jump to some other football stuff, right? the Bills, I've said it all year, the play calling is very questionable. It was very questionable in this game.
I agree.
Okay. Multiple times trying to run the ball. The tush-push thing for the Bills, clearly not working. They keep trying to go to the left side of the line. The Chiefs were jumping it. It wasn't working. They tried it multiple times throughout the game, and they just wouldn't go to anything different, and they clearly have the players to go to something different. I mean, you could bring Allen out of the shotgun and try and run him. You got James Cook. You got tons. They got those little out passes to Kincaid. They got so many different things that they can try to do to gain a yard, and they weren't doing them. It was frustrating to watch. And as Uncle Clint would say, they left a lot of points on the table. They kept trying to go for two. I think there was, if you added it up over the period of the game, there was like 5 points they left on the table by just bad coaching and bad mistakes on that front. So another play call that stood out, it was like third down. They were on the 5 yard line and they threw it on a fade route, a design play call to a rookie, Keon Coleman, who's one on one against one of the best defensive backs in the league on the Chiefs. An all-pro, and it was just, it's like, why are you trying that? Why are you trying that play? It just didn't make sense. So from the Bills' perspective, my second point for that loss is obviously that the play calling was not there. They let points come off the board, and like the one time they kicked the extra point, and they got a penalty on the Chiefs, so now they got the ball on the one-yard line, and they decide to go for it, and they don't get it. You know, they don't get the two-point. There's just multiple things there that was not going their route. The last thing I'll state about the game before you want to get into any of your points, Caden, is that the Bills were just not tough enough. And when I talk about toughness, I'm talking about the way that the Texans entered their game with the Chiefs. They were knocking the Chiefs around. I mean, again, the Houston obviously didn't have the offense to overcome the Chiefs' defense. They only scored 14 points. They couldn't, but their defense was tough, and they were hitting them in the mouth. And from the first whistle of this game, from the first kickoff, the Bills were soft on this. There was plays where Mahomes was on the sidelines and I was watching the defensive backs just put their hands back. Instead, it's like it shows that what's happening with the Chiefs and what's happening with the late hit calls and what's happened with this is almost changing the way that they're defended. It's changing the way that other teams play. Multiple chances with Mahomes scrambling, not sliding, that I felt like someone could have really come in and give him a shot, and they didn't. It reminded me of that Kevin Hart thing on TV where it was like they were showing how they're trying to set the quarterback on the ground. He needs a blanket and a pillow and all that stuff. It kind of reminded me of that. Like, you, in a game like that, your defense has to lay the wood, and they got to bring it. And they have to hit hard. They have to be aggressive. They never had that. They never struck that fear into the Chiefs that I felt like, quite frankly, I felt like the Texans did. The Texans D, just rewatch the beginning of that game. I know that they obviously couldn't finish with the win, but rewatch the beginning of that game. The Chiefs were getting knocked around. The Bills needed to do that in this game. They weren't able to do it. Final point. James Cook is the best athlete on the football field. In that game, when he gets loose, when he hits that second level similar to Saquon, you can't catch him. There's many things about his game when you watch it back that just bother me. The first thing that bothers me about his game is that when he gets the ball on the sideline and he's gaining yardage, he steps out of bounds when he's got an extra 3 to 7 yards in front of him and he could go get a little contact and pick up that extra yardage. He never does it. He just shifts out of bounds. That's number one. Number two is after he plays for like 3 or 4 downs in a row, he has to come out of the game. He's calling for it. That's what I thought. I'm telling you, Kane, we talked about this throughout the year. I'm like, why is Cook only playing 50% of the snaps, 60% of the snaps? And when you watch the game, half the time he's calling to the sideline. I watched him call to the sideline 3 times in this game.
Maybe he was hurt.
No, he wasn't hurt. He would just do one long run, 20 yards or something, and he's calling to come out.
Yeah, it doesn't help.
I don't know if he's got asthma or what, but I'm telling you right now, like, that dude's so explosive. I think that if he seeked a little bit more contact and he was able to stay on the field for more plays, you know, he could be one of the top running backs in the league. So that's my point on Cook. I just thought Cook was absolutely dominant in that game, and I thought we just should have seen a lot more of him. So, your thoughts, man. Anything else you want to put out there? Those were my things. It was kind of the reffing. I also thought the Bills had bad play calling. And then the toughness factor just wasn't there for them. The ref, the, The ref thing just makes me sick. The fourth and one, I was losing my mind. I was pausing it for Caden, showing him that he crossed the line. I lost it. I'm glad I didn't come on a pod after that because I was way too heavy on it. Right now, I'm actually taking a little bit of a step back. You got anything?
I mean, you know, I think that the Eagles are probably going to – the Chiefs are probably going to win because of the refs against the Eagles. I just don't know. I'm kind of
– We'll do the Super Bowl preview next on that specific game with the Bills. The Bills,
yeah,
Chiefs,
you want to add anything? I don't know. I feel like the Bills got lucky to be in the game. I think if the Ravens made less mistakes, including Mark Andrews, I think that they could have won. I don't think the Bills played their best. Even against the Broncos, I don't think they played their best. But I really felt like they had their best, you know, situation. I feel like Allen was playing their best football. I think if you know, some things go on their way, if it was the refs or big plays or what, but I don't know. I just feel like the big plays always went to the Chiefs. Like every time, it was kind of like a well-rounded offensive game for both teams, but defensively, kind of seemed like things went their way for the Chiefs more than the Bills, especially in crunch time. But yeah.
The numbers were very even in the game. I mean, it was – you hate to see the social media stuff with the reffing and all that. You hate to see it because it was such a good game. And with everything seemingly going the Chiefs' way in these games, it takes a little bit away from what – like those two teams, you look at the numbers, I mean, just super well matched in terms of statistically the way that game shook out, the back and forth. There was a lot of lead changes. It was a lot of fun. So I give those two teams a lot of credit. I'm with you on the Bills. I mean, talent-wise, I still think the Ravens are probably the best football team in the NFL. But when it comes down to it, Lamar with a pick, Lamar laying the ball on the grass again.
It was
Andrews,
Lamar.
Andrews fumbling. It was because it's never about one play late in the game. It's about the whole game. Andrews dropped a two-point, but again,
he fumbled.
I'll be honest with you. Lamar, I mean, look back at that play. Should Andrews have caught it?
Yes.
Yes, he should have. Should that pass have been better? Yes, it should have been. He threw the ball at his knees when he had him wide open. That should have just been a walk-in, and Lamar did not make the best throw either. So, but Lamar put the ball on the grass, almost turned into a – it ended up turning into a touchdown, but it almost was a scoop and score. The pick early in the game was such an awful, you know, uncharacteristic play by Lamar. It reminded me of what Allen did in this game, but Allen was fortunate enough for the pass to not get picked off. So, right like you said it, I mean, the Bills, I don't think they were the best team in the league. I do think they're better than the Chiefs. I honestly think it was like Ravens, Bills, Chiefs this year. I thought the Bills were going to get them here. I have to give it to Uncle Clint. He gets another year of no Allen in the Super Bowl, so his Capital Grill money is safe. But I do think that player, Josh Allen, I think he's the only all-pro on the Bills. That guy really pushed that team this year, and he had a great season. I feel bad for him. I felt bad seeing him go down again, but it's tough to get past that Chiefs team.
I can't believe he lost 4 years in a row to Mahomes. I didn't know he lost in 2020.
Let's talk about the other game, the double nickel, as I'm calling it, with Philly laying 55. I had another thing going with Uncle Clint on this where he's like, Saquon should have been MVP. I said, look, Saquon's probably going to be Offensive Player of the Year. Saquon is awesome. I got so many good things to say about that guy in that game. You watch that game, he made a couple of huge blocks. I mean, Saquon, not only from his offensive numbers and the touchdowns and all that, I think it was Wagner. He put Wagner on a seat like two times. Just made major unselfish plays throughout that game. So I got nothing but good things to say about him. But you don't win in the NFL without good quarterback play. Ask the Detroit Lions what happened to them when Jared Goff threw three interceptions in their playoff game. You don't win in the NFL without good quarterback. You could do it without a running game. Look at the Chiefs. Chiefs don't even know who their number one running back is, and they still get it done. But you can't do it without the QB. And that's what I'm trying to explain to him. I told him, you're right. Saquon's awesome. I said, but pull up Saquon's numbers from this game, and then go pull up Jahmyr Gibbs' number from the Lions game. I said, Jahmyr Gibbs was the best player on the field in that game, Lions Commanders. He had basically the same numbers that Saquon had, and they got wiped out by the Commanders. Okay, that's because the quarterback didn't play the way the quarterback needs to play. So although the running back can be unbelievable, and Saquon was and Gibbs was, the guy most important to winning is the quarterback. And Hurts showed it in that game. And going into that game, everybody was worried about Jalen Hurts. Is he injured? Can he move? Can he make the throws that he needs to make? And he did all of it. He moved. He made big runs. He rushed for 3 touchdowns. He made huge throws when he needed to make those throws. Throughout the game, he put the ball right on the money. I was impressed by Hurts. And Hurts was the question mark going in. He proved himself. Hurts has proven himself to be a winner in the postseason in this league. Yeah. This is the second time he's taken his team to a Super Bowl. I think credit is due to Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, and I also feel like, especially the way last year that Hurts had, especially as he collapsed, I think it was impressive. I think you also look at, Saquon as, Philadelphia did not have a very good running game last year, and they had a collapse. And I feel like you have a more consistent game, offensive game when you have a consistent running game that Saquon had, like with Saquon.
True.
Even when you saw with the Bears, I mean, DeAndre Swift is a good running back, but he's not a guy that you can be a go-to guy. So
he's not a difference maker. Like you said, Swift is not. Saquon is, and he could be what puts them over the top, for sure, without a doubt. What happened to Philadelphia last year, no one can explain. I mean, they're just – everything came apart for them. They were started like 11-1 or something, and then everything just came apart on them really quick. So I don't think anybody can explain really why things came apart for Philly so bad last year. Like I say, what they put together this year, Philly's a complete team. Let's finish this the NFC game real quick, because I did want to say early on in that game, the calls went the Eagles' way. When it comes to people want to talk about the refs, you got to talk about it in every game. The calls early went their way. There was no stopping the Eagles in that game. It doesn't matter which way the calls went. But, again, 3 turnovers by Washington.
What,
all
Jaden
fumbles.
Jaden Daniels had 3 turnovers?
No, Jaden Daniels did not have any. But they put the ball on the ground 3 times. One guy did it on a kickoff return. Ackler fumbled the ball once, and then early in the game, the first drive, the wide receiver, I think Brown, he had a fumble. So they put the ball on the ground 3 times. They lost it all 3 times. They paid the ultimate price for that as Philly turned those turnovers into points, and Philly put up, a double nickel on them, which is, you score over 40 points in a playoff game, you're probably not losing. You score over 50, you're definitely not losing. But the game early on was closer than that final score would dictate. And some of those calls that went Philly's way definitely helped them out. I will say that Daniels did play well. Daniels looks like if he could stay healthy, he'll be a top quarterback in this league for many years. He really does. He looks comfortable back there. He's a great athlete. He looks like he's got all the tools to be really good. With that said, I think everybody has sold out Caleb Williams. I keep hearing this stuff on national media, on talk radio shows, acting like Caleb Williams is a bust. I'm sitting here going, this stuff is insane. Caleb Williams had a solid rookie season, and Caleb Williams showed some really promising things. And the fact that Daniels had a better year, they need to take it easy on Caleb.
Well, I also feel like, I think the wins also affected. I think Jaden Daniels didn't just have the stats, but he had the wins also. Caleb had pretty decent stats, but he didn't get wins. And I think that really matters too.
100%. No, you're right. I mean, that's why Daniels deserves the accolades this year, without a doubt. But because Daniels gets the accolades this year, it doesn't mean that Caleb was a bust. I mean, this is just crazy talk. Somebody on the radio the other day compared the Caleb pick to Sam Bowie, which was an NBA pick where they picked the wrong guy and then Bowie got hurt. It didn't work. I think it was Bowie Michael. Yeah, he went in front of Michael Jordan, and then it was, the end of – and then Bowie got hurt, and then the next pick obviously became Jordan. They were talking about it like that. I think that's insane. I think Caleb can still be the better QB in the long term. All those factors that I mentioned, he's got a better arm. He's just as good of an athlete, probably not as fast, but just as shifty. And he's going to be sturdier. He's going to be a guy that, I believe can hold up in the league.
You've been saying that, but Daniels
played more games. Did he play more games? I mean, Caleb played every game. He made it to the playoffs, but Caleb played every game.
Exactly.
I don't know, did Daniels play every game? Because if he did, he probably did his team injustice.
I think he missed one game.
Okay, well, there you go. Here's the prediction. I'll make this prediction since you're calling me out on. I'm going to say that Jaden Daniels, in his career, will less than three times play every game in the season. That's what I'm going to say. I think that dude's going to get hurt. I don't know. Maybe if he's already got one on the board, he only needs to do it two more times. I don't think he's a guy that's going to give you all 17. I don't think he's a guy that most time are going to give you 13 or 14. We'll see. I just think there's injuries there. You can see it. He looks small. He is small. And eventually, in the league, that will catch up to you. He's going into his second year. They got a year of film on him. There's going to be opportunities to put some hits on him next year. We'll see if he can hold up. I hope he does. I don't want guys to get hurt. But again, and I'm not holding anything against Daniels. Daniels was better this year. But to talk down on Caleb like that, I think it's wrong. I think that Caleb is going to be the start of a stable situation next year with Ben Johnson. He brought a lot of staffers with him from Detroit. I think that there's going to be a stable situation for Caleb there next year to learn under. And then a couple years into that system, I think Caleb's going to look like a star in the league.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I feel like I feel like Caleb has to get more comfortable, especially with the coach situation. I feel like Daniels has already settled in into a spot, but also I feel like Caleb with now this is like his third coach, and he hasn't played even like two seasons. It's not just like that, but it's different offensive. It's like different schemes. He's now a new offensive coordinator. So again, I'm not saying I don't like this group of guys, but I think that really, you really got to pay attention to really, like, you got to get Caleb comfortable. And then if you know this is the guy, you really got to sell hard on him because, if you get Caleb used to Eberflus's or Shane Waldron's, and now he has to adjust to Thomas Brown's, and now to whoever our offensive coordinator is. I don't know his name, but I know the Bears hired one. I just feel like as a young player, it's hard to really just adjust.
I don't want to give my pick for the Super Bowl, but we can preview it a little bit before we get off of this pod because we're just doing a short one tonight. We plan on doing an extended one next week where we make our picks. We bring Uncle Clint on. We'll get his opinions on these championship games briefly, and then we'll talk mainly the Super Bowl. But you're talking about a 15-2 Chiefs team going against a 14-3 Eagles team. So you're getting, you're getting the one seed versus the two seed essentially in here with the Lions going out, which I think a lot of people knew the Lions could fall out of that with all the injuries that they had and so forth. So you're likely seeing, the NFL tends, with all the parity in the league, it does tend to give you
a pretty predictable situation. Williams on the podcast, on the St. Brown podcast after their loss. I want to talk about
his interception. Oh my god.
He threw an interception?
He's the dude that threw the pick on the trick play. I would be okay if I never heard that guy talk again in my entire life. I would be totally fine with that.
Why?
Anybody that wants to hear it, just I think it was three episodes ago, go back and listen to Jameson Williams on the same
podcast. I don't need to hear that guy ever again. I feel like he's like emotional. Like, I don't know.
Anyway, we'll go past that. But so for
no, I don't want to go past it. I feel like
what else you want to talk about with Jameson Williams?
Roma Dunze could be like a Jameson Williams. I feel like in Ben Johnson's system.
I think that Roma Dunze is not as fast as Jameson Williams, but I think that he's a better route runner than Jameson Williams. Jameson Williams is almost like a gimmicky player there. He's like a go, can we get him on a go route, that type of thing. He's their burner. He's not, and they can do a double reverse with them and stuff like that, but he's not a guy that's going to be like St. Brown, who can run the slant, can run all the different routes. It's got the footwork.
And did you hear on the St. Brown podcast, the Equanimeous told Amon Ross for to get him Ben Johnson's phone number, and he didn't say why, but he's like, oh, yeah, just tell him to call me.
I did hear that. He wants back in Chicago. He wants to play in the Bears offense. He's got, you know, he's got some roots there. He played with the Bears a couple years ago. I think that that's kind of what he's alluding to, essentially, is, hey, maybe I can get a tryout with the Bears and see if I can get back on the field. That's what I was thinking.
Why would he want to do that?
Why would he want to play in the NFL?
He already plays for the Saints.
Yeah, and again, he's looking to put himself in a good situation. I don't know. Maybe he's probably just on one-year deals, I'm assuming, right?
He's in a pretty good situation with the Saints. I'm not sure.
Yeah, with Spencer Rattler, that's a good situation.
Well, he gets some playing time. He's only going to need playing time with the Bears.
I don't know if you're better off having limited playing time with Caleb Williams or a lot of playing time with Spencer Rattler.
They had Derek Carr.
No, well, we'll see. I don't know that that's much better, to be honest
with you. Derek Carr is good.
Derek Carr has the experiment that took place in Vegas was not a good one. And
Derek Carr's a good quarterback.
Sometimes he looks like he's got some potential, but he's a guy that has not lived up to his potential. Let's talk Super Bowl real quick.
Okay? How old is Ben Roethlisberger?
This is a kid, where are you going?
No, because like
where are you going, Uncle Clint? All right, a rematch from 2 years ago, right? Philly, KC.
Yeah,
that Super Bowl 2 years ago was one of the best Super Bowls I've ever seen. Super Bowls have been historically bad games. We've seen the low-scoring defensive games. We've seen the blowouts. You see a lot of bad Super Bowls. That game was phenomenal, and I hate to bring it up. Uncle Clint and I talk about it all the time. That game was completely ruined by a bad call late in the game. And it wasn't, again, it wouldn't have locked up the game for either team. But the fact that they threw a flag on defensive holding.
And it was late.
Against a defensive back that basically just turned the wide receiver. He didn't even grab him. Of course, it was late. There was two problems with the call. Look back at it. YouTube it. Whatever you got to do. What was the guy's name? The
Bradbury.
Bradbury basically turned him a little bit. It was should not have been flagged. And then the pass sailed the guy by like 8 yards. It was not even a catchable ball that was thrown on top. It was a terrible call. It ended up basically, I mean, it was the end of the game. When they made that call, it was the end of the game. So you cannot make a call like that to end the game. If they didn't, KC, I believe, was going to, I think they were going to have to kick a field goal at that point. The Eagles would have had an opportunity to win the game. Win or lose, coming back the other way. They never had that opportunity. And
because
that would have just.
The Chiefs ran the ball? Or...
No, because that was the end of the game. Once they called that and it went to first down, the Chiefs just kneeled it out.
No, I remember Hurts had a chance to throw a hail.
Oh, did they? Okay, so they kneeled, and then probably kicked the field or ran it up the middle, kicked the field goal, and then the Eagles ended up getting it back. But there was an opportunity there. I don't remember the exact play sequence at the end, but the Eagles would have had the ball. I think they had to blow their timeouts there as well after that defense hole. So pretty much iced the game for the Chiefs at the end of the day. Yeah. That, to me, I know who I'm rooting for. I will make my pick on the next pod. I will be fly, Eagles, fly all day with this one. I want to see the Chiefs go down. On the flip side of it, if the Chiefs win and they three-peat, I'll be happy because, as everybody knows, if they've ever listened to this podcast, I do not think Brady's the GOAT.
I do.
I think Mahomes is better. I think
Brady didn't have the rush with them.
I think Mahomes, actually he did, believe it or not.
Not as much as Mahomes.
There's another, you need to go back and watch, because it wasn't about as much as like Brady getting calls, the way Mahomes gets like the roughing the passers and things like that. It was about the way that the team got officiated. They used to let the New England DBs grab and tug and hold and do it. They used to let them play.
Well, also,
a different
NFL
brand.
was much more physical.
It was. It was a different brand of football for sure. But the Patriots knew how to essentially get away with murder under the way that the system was officiated back then, and they did. They took advantage of it. It worked to their advantage for sure. And you know, bravo to them for that. But again, the Patriots were on the right side of a lot of bad calls in history, but I'm not going to go and say that that's why they won 6 Super Bowls. They were obviously a fantastic organization, a fantastic franchise. But that's where I'm going with it, is that, you know, I'm going to be pulling for the Eagles, but again, Mahomes has an opportunity to do something that Brady never did, and if he does that, I'll be happy, because I think some of that stuff about, you know, Brady the GOAT and all that needs to pipe down a little bit. And if Mahomes the guy to quiet that talk, I'll be happy about that. But I know who I'll be rooting for, and I'll be making my pick on the next pod. Kaden, no, I said who I'm rooting for. That doesn't mean who I'm picking. That's a totally different thing. What do you got? You want to talk about anything? You want to talk about? You don't need to give me your pick. You can give a pick if you want, but ultimately,
I'm going with the Eagles.
Chiefs are favored by a point and a half right now.
You should put a bet on the Eagles.
Let me see what the over under is.
For $100.
$100. It's plus. Philly's plus 105. So $100 pays 105.
Oh, you should do that.
And then the total. I don't. You know, dude. I don't bet.
You always bet on the Super Bowl.
No, I don't. I'll put like $5 on like first touchdown score. I mean, it's not real.
All right, first touchdown score. I'm going to Patrick Mahomes.
Might not be a bad one. The over-under on it is 48.5. So if you look at it, like the Bills, what was that, 32-29? So that was over 50. That was like over 60. I think that game could easily go over 48.5 the way these teams have been scoring. But again, it's two top defensive playing.
Yeah, and they have like an extra week to prepare.
Yeah, like Uncle Clint said, they got 1 week off. No, they got 2 weeks. No, they got 1 week.
Usually the defense really, like, it takes advantage of the extra week more than the offense.
All right, I had to get this stuff off my chest. I had to talk about the bad calls. I had to talk about the Bills not making it again. Caden had to get his words in on this. We're not jumping to other sports. We're not getting into anything else. We'll cover that on a future pod. So I would like to thank you
can
guys.
Can I talk some Bulls?
What are you going to say? No, we're not talking Bulls.
Zach LaVine got snubbed from the All-Star.
You could, okay, you talk about LaVine snub, and you could talk about the local kid from Hinsdale, basically. He's going to be in the dunk contest. Yeah. You looking forward to that or what? I heard Zach's training him.
Yeah, I heard Zach might want to make a return, too.
Did you see the Instagram where he did the around the back and he dunked it? Zach LaVine is one of the greatest dunk competition dunkers of all time. He's up there with Aaron Gordon and Vince Carter and Dominique Wilkins, Michael Jordan. I mean, he's up there with the best of them. So, yeah, that'll be cool. I actually think from what I've seen from Buzelis, he's got hops. I don't know how much creativity he's got. If he's working with LaVine can give him some cool stuff for sure. So I'm looking forward to seeing a Bull at least representing
in
Chicago.
The dunk contest is, like, horrible.
It has been bad. They've toyed with it so much at this point. You don't even know what the rules are anymore. But again, it'll be cool. It makes it more interesting when you can have a guy from your team on it and see what he can do, especially a young guy that doesn't get a ton of playing time, doesn't have all the accolades
yet. Billy Donovan knew what he was doing, he'd put Buzelis in the game. But I do like Patrick Williams playing off the bench. He's played much better the last couple games.
Don't even get me started.
No, he's playing really good. When Lonzo has been in the starting lineup, Lonzo has been playing well, and Williams is playing really well.
I don't know how you can watch it night in and night out. I don't know how you can watch it. They give up so many points, and the defense is so awful.
Every team gives up points.
Not like the Bulls. The Bulls defense, oh, it's so hard. Anyway, that's all we want to cover tonight. Thank you guys for listening. Remember to like us and follow us on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your pods. Give us the 5-star too. We'd like to get those ratings going. We appreciate it very much. You guys have a great night.